Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
The killer was an American citizen. He posted videos on social media indicating that he's inspired by ISIS.
The president getting his Homeland Security team together for a briefing today as we wait for another update from New Orleans from the FBI.
He woke up to terror at our door.
The man who drove that truck through the crowd killed at least 15 people, had two guns on him and an IED. Investigators now saying they do not think he was solely responsible, so they're looking for other people. Also, investigation into any links between the New Orleans attack and the Cybertruck explosion outside the Trump Resort in Las Vegas. We'll get you the very latest right now.
CBS News Special Report. Federal investigators will hold a briefing shortly on the New Orleans attack that killed 15 people. The driver, an Army veteran, was flying an ISIS flag on the rented truck. Security contributor Sam Vinograd.
This attack appears to be what ISIS dreams are made of. Despite losing territory in the Middle East and Central Asia, ISIS has invested very heavily in propaganda in various languages, including English. That propaganda is intended to inspire individuals all around the world to conduct ISIS's dirty work.
And then there is the Tesla truck that exploded outside a Trump hotel in Las Vegas. CBS's Andres Gutierrez.
Authorities are looking at the striking parallels between this incident and the attack in New Orleans. Besides the timing on New Year's Day, both involved trucks rented on the Turo app, and both involved U.S. military members that served in Afghanistan around the same time.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Cammie McCormick.
In the briefing that was mentioned, 8 o'clock our time, you'll hear it live right here.
Now, the brother of the suspect in the New Orleans terrorist claims that terrorist attack, he claims he was raised Christian but converted to Islam a while ago. He told the New York Times that Shamsuddin Jabbar was Muslim for most of his life, but what he did does not represent Islam, and that he was radicalized somehow, and it's not religion he was dealing with there. The suspect was married twice, and back in January of 2022, he wrote an email to his second wife's lawyer saying he was in danger of foreclosing if they continued to delay the divorce. Now, the man now married to Jabbar's first wife told The Times he had acted erratically in the past few months or so, and that they had stopped allowing her daughters to spend time with him.
There will be some more LAPD officers on the streets because of what happened in New Orleans and also because of the upcoming election certification for Donald Trump. Here's Craig Figner.
Next Monday, all Los Angeles police officers have been told to show up to work in uniform. It's a mandatory uniform order that came down just hours after the terror attack in New Orleans. January 6th, that is the day the House meets in Washington, D.C. to certify Donald Trump as the winner of the 2024 presidential contest. Sources within the Los Angeles Police Department say the mandatory uniform order is merely a precaution, but if there is the need for some type of citywide tactical alert, well, every sworn officer will be in uniform and immediately available.
Sheriff's deputies are having some trouble still using their radios to respond to calls because their computers are down, and they've been down a while. They crashed on New Year's Eve. The dispatch system for the LA County Sheriff's Department, John Baird, is live downtown. He's got more, John.
What timing? Things went south just a few hours before everyone started ringing in the new year. And certainly that's a critical time considering the attack in New Orleans and concerns about other possible attacks coming. But retired Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith, who's a spokesperson for the National Police Association, says it's not the end of the world, although, yes, it will likely slow things down a little.
This definitely is cumbersome, but it's not insurmountable.
She points out that deputies do have cell phones, although without the computers, they can't run license plates and run checks on people. But with the computers, dispatchers can send a lot more information about a call more quickly, and now they have to write things down and relay it to the deputies over the radio, who also have to write things down.
It's very possible that the deputies in the field will get some truncated information when they're heading to calls.
Now, it's not clear when the system will be fixed, but the department has requested a new CAD, a new computer dispatch system. They made the request in the middle of last year.
John, thank you. Well, a man was arrested for allegedly attempting to hijack one of those Waymo cars in downtown L.A. overnight. Waymo, they're the driverless cars that we've been seeing a lot around downtown over the past year or so. KTLA reports police found him in the driver's seat, and he refused to get out. Happened around 1 this morning near South Hill and 5th. Video shows him talking with police behind a riot shield. They eventually had to open the driverless door to pull him out. And then they took that person into custody. Well, the FBI is set to hold a news conference right about 8 o'clock regarding the terrorist attack in New Orleans that killed at least 15 people. Now, investigators are looking for others who possibly helped plan the attack. We talked to Seamus Hughes, who's a senior researcher at the National Counterterrorism Innovation, Technology, and Education Center.
When we're talking about co-conspirators or being inspired by ISIS, I mean, one thing they're going to have to look at is was he inspired by or directed by?
That's exactly right. I mean, that's really what's going to happen right now. So the FBI has done raids in Texas, and they're going through his electronics right now. What they want to know is their actual link, right? Was he directed by individuals in Syria and Iraq to commit these attacks? What's probably more likely, particularly given that we haven't seen a propaganda video from ISIS, is that he was inspired by it. And we saw in the last 10 years these type of attacks, whether it be Pulse nightclub or San Bernardino, individuals who get their inspiration online and then commit violent acts.
Seamus, about 250 individuals. I was reading an article that I believe you wrote about ISIS. 250 folks here in the U.S. have been charged since 2014, ISIS-related incidents or what have you. Most of them U.S. citizens. And again, we go back to the fact, how much is ISIS embedded in America? You know, for a while we thought, oh, they were gone. We got rid of them in the Middle East. What about here in America?
Yeah, so it's been generally a steady state. So the FBI director has talked for the last number of years about 1,000 active investigations in all 50 states when it comes to ISIS. And of course, ISIS hit its height when it owned territory the size of the UK in 2016, and it was a huge driver for Americans then. But in general, we've had a general steady state of individuals who've been arrested since then. We're on pace for about a dozen arrests every year for that. So it's not only something that's gone away. So the ability to travel to go join groups like ISIS overseas may have been diminished, but the fervency of wanting to commit an attack here is still there.
So 1,000 investigations. When these types of things happen, is there usually some sort of prior eyes on a person, or can they truly just come out of the blue?
You know, it's possible to come out of the blue, but if you look at the attacks in the last decade, I struggle to think of one attack, ISIS-inspired attack, that didn't have at least one touch point with law enforcement or was a subject of a prior investigation by the FBI. And some of that is a reflection of a large national security apparatus that has tripwires and that you can't keep a case open indefinitely unless someone commits an act. So we will probably see some level of this individual being on the radar for law enforcement. And so the question then becomes, you know, did they follow every fact they needed to in that case when they closed it or not? And so as they're going through all of this, they're going through all of the filings and the databases the FBI has and says, what do we have on this guy? Or what do we have on any of his accomplices or friends?
That's terrorism expert Seamus Hughes.
20 minutes of nonstop news. Power's back on in Puerto Rico. The House Republicans trying to avoid another embarrassing fight over the speakership, so they're changing some rules. And the president giving out some medals today, honoring dozens of people, one of the nation's highest awards.
At a White House ceremony, the president will award 20 people with the Presidential Citizens Medal, the nation's second highest civilian honor after the Medal of Freedom. It's awarded to those who performed exemplary deeds of service for their country or their fellow citizens. Current and former lawmakers are among those to be honored, two of whom President-elect Trump has said should be jailed, Liz Cheney and Representative Benny Thompson of Mississippi. They led the congressional investigation into the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Other recipients include attorney Mary Bonalto and Evan Wolfson, who fought to legalize same-sex marriage, women's rights activist Eleanor Smeal, and the late Joseph Galloway, the former war correspondent who wrote about the Vietnam War in his book We Were Soldiers Once and Young. Jennifer King, Washington.
House Republicans are planning to make it more difficult to oust the House Speaker.
Infighting has made governing difficult for Republicans who continue to have a razor-thin majority in the House. And the rule they created in the last session, allowing a single member to trigger a no-confidence vote to remove the Speaker, didn't help. The new rules package will raise that number to 9. The House is expected to vote Friday to adopt the rules package after members elect a Speaker and are sworn in. Michael Toscano, CBS News, Washington.
Rudy Giuliani has to satisfy this $148 million defamation verdict. A former New York City mayor is fighting to keep some sports memorabilia. Yankees World Series rings given to him by the team's late owner, George Steinbrenner. He's a lifelong fan, says the rings commemorating the four championships, so wondering his years as mayor now belong to his son, shouldn't have to be given up. Sworn testimony made public ahead of some court dates. He described the rings from the 90s as a family heirloom, good luck charm. Two former Georgia election workers sued him over his lies about them in the wake of Donald Trump's loss in 2020.
There's an investigation in Upland after a 33-year-old woman was found dead inside her apartment this on New Year's Eve.
She had injuries on her body that indicate that there was some kind of altercation, so we are treating it as a homicide at this time.
That's Police Sergeant Marcy Williams talking to KCAL News. The woman's uncle said she was found at the Rancho Monta Vista complex, that's on West Arrow, after the family wasn't able to get in touch with her.
I got a call from my sister later on in the evening, so I don't really remember because I'm a pastor and I was on my way to go to a service, and so I got the call.
So far, police aren't sure if the woman knew her attacker, but they don't think this was a random attack.
Mass shooting in Queens, New York, leaving 10 teenagers hurt. Several people opened fire outside a nightclub. Here's NYPD Chief of Patrol Philip Rivera.
Officers responding to the multiple 911 calls found a total of 10 victims, 6 females, 4 males, which were taken to area hospitals. All of the victims are expected to recover with non-life-threatening injuries.
They're still looking for the suspects.
Well, the governor of Hawaii says he's looking into new penalties, including a felony charge for possessing a large amount of fireworks. This after three people were killed at an explosion in a Honolulu area neighborhood on New Year's Eve. Two dozen were hospitalized, many with severe burns. Governor Josh Green explains what happened.
It was a cake bomb, essentially. It was a bomb. It was fireworks, but they were put together in a way that they were so explosive. They took the table down, apparently, and then rocketed these fireworks into other caches of fireworks.
Police say they're investigating whether charges for the person who lit the fireworks are warranted.
Police in South Korea have raided the airport where that plane crashed, also searched the offices of the airline. It killed 179 people. The plane crashed on Sunday. The BBC's Neil Nunez with the details.
South Korean police say they've raided Muwan Airport and the offices of Jeju Air in the capital Seoul as they continue their investigation into the crash of one of the company's passenger jets. 179 people were killed when the aircraft crash-landed at Muwan Airport on Sunday and slid into a wall.
Officials investigating the cause say they got data from one of the plane's two black boxes recovered from the wreckage of that plane.
Well, power has been restored for nearly every person on Puerto Rico after a massive outage on New Year's Eve.
Most of Puerto Rico's 1.4 million utility customers lost power New Year's Eve. There was talk it could take days to get the lights back on. Lights returned to households as well as to Puerto Rico's hospitals, water plants, and sewage facilities. Luma Energy is warning there could be temporary outages over the next few days because of the fragile nature of the grid. The island's power system was ravaged in 2017 by Category 4 Hurricane Maria. At the peak of Hurricane Ernesto back in August, over half of all utility customers lost power. I'm Ed Donahue.
Get away from the lights. There's a good chance you could see some shooting stars tonight.
The peak of the first meteor shower of the year may be visible during a six-hour period tonight into tomorrow morning. The quadrantids will be brightest as Earth reaches the densest part of the cosmic debris from an asteroid that began streaking through the skies the day after Christmas. Scientists expect this one to be one of the strongest showers of the new year. Best viewing is from the northern hemisphere, and a waning crescent moon is a plus. But frigid temperatures, overcast skies, and that short window of time could make those bright fireballs tricky to spot. NASA says the peak could be as many as 120 meteors per hour. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
There's a larger security presence in New Orleans following yesterday's terrorist attack and ahead of today's Sugar Bowl, which was postponed from yesterday. We talked to WWL Radio's Dave Cohen in New Orleans.
The game's still set for tonight because there had been some talk of delaying it even more, right?
They actually moved it up to 3 o'clock this afternoon Central Time. They needed time for bomb sniffing dogs to do a grid search on the perimeter outside the Superdome. They wanted to extend the safety perimeter after what happened yesterday morning. And that's what they've done overnight and yesterday evening. Now they feel it's secure. And in about 2 hours, they're going to open up the tailgate and then have that game at 3 o'clock Central Time this afternoon.
Dave, describe to us, if you could, a lot of us have been to New Orleans. You know, some folks have not. What does downtown look like right now? Canal, Bourbon Street, usually very, very busy. I mean, all times of the year. What's it like right now?
Well, immediately after yesterday morning's 3:15 a.m. attack on Bourbon Street, they shut down Bourbon Street with literally hundreds of police, fire, EMS vehicles, and others, and it has not opened since. Maybe one or two blocks have opened about a mile into Bourbon Street off of Canal Street. And for those who haven't been there, Bourbon Street is looks much like it did over 200 years ago, with the same architecture and the buildings all right up against one another with the historic balconies and everything else. And it is now off limits and probably will remain off limits as a crime scene even after today's game. So whether it's Notre Dame or Georgia fans who are going to be celebrating, it looks like they won't be able to do it on Bourbon Street. And to get to the Superdome, they're going to have to do quite a bit of walking. They've extended the perimeter out even further now, similar to what we expect to see for the Super Bowl coming up next month.
We mentioned the upcoming news conference. I imagine plenty of questions about the search for these possible co-conspirators, right? Because of these other explosive devices that were found nearby when they did that search?
Correct.